From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in Psalm 119. The subject of that psalm is the Word of God. In this series, Dr. Cairns focuses on verses 9 through 16 as he expounds the theme, Living Clean in an Unclean World. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Loved Unto the End. The text is found in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 31. For the Lord will not cast off forever. He may cast away for a season, but not forever. A woman may leave off her ornaments for a few days, but she will not forget them, nor throw them upon the dunghill. It is not like the Lord to cast off those whom he loves. For having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Some talk of our being in grace and out of it, as if we were like rabbits that run in and out of their burrows. But indeed, it is not so. The Lord's love is a far more serious and abiding matter than this. He chose us from eternity, and he will love us throughout eternity. He loved us so as to die for us, and we may therefore be sure that his love will never die. His honor is so wrapped up in the salvation of the believer that he can no more cast him off than he can cast off his own robes of office as King of Glory. No, no. The Lord Jesus, as a head, can never cast off his members. As a husband, he never casts off his bride. Did you think you were cast off? Why did you think so evil of the Lord who has betrothed you to himself? Cast off such thoughts, and never let them lodge in your soul again. The Lord hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. He hateth putting away.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content. So, if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for your taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy this program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you will join us on our website this week. Today, Dr. Cairns continues the sixth in a series of studies on the theme, Living Clean in an Unclean World. The text for all these messages is Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. The present message focuses on verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. The emphasis in this portion of the study is living in the joy of biblical holiness. To live a holy life, we must live in obedience to what the Lord has commanded. This is the essence of biblical holiness. God's word is perfectly clear about this, and there's really no reason to be ignorant of what God expects. As we've seen, biblical holiness focuses upon the believer's destination rather than upon the present. Furthermore, holiness is biblical worship, and it's also a biblical work. Every thought, choice, and action of the believer is for God. The psalmist spoke of rejoicing in God's testimonies. Living a life of biblical holiness results in an exuberance of joy, not in a sour, unhappy life. And now to bring God's word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
Holiness is a biblical walk. It also is a biblical worship. You see, if you're walking according to God's witness, then you will see immediately that the Word of God is informing how you think and how you act. In other words, everything in life is immediately connected with what God is and with what God says. This is what gives the fear of God. I've often said from this pulpit that scripturally the fear of God and the worship of God are really one and the same thing. To fear Him is to worship Him. To walk with Him is to worship Him. Walking in biblical worship. And of course, holiness is a biblical work for God. You see, and this is the big thing that really I think we've got to get. Holiness refuses this and chooses this. Why? For God's sake. For God's glory. To fulfill God's purpose. Biblical holiness works not out of flesh, not out of guilt. Biblical holiness works for God. What is pleasing to the Master? What is glorifying to the Redeemer? What is going to present the name of my God most effectively before heaven, earth, and hell? Then that is the thing I want to do. That is the essence of biblical holiness. But the psalmist speaks of what I will call, and I call it rightly and you'll see textually, the exuberance of biblical holiness. Now, I have to admit right away that those are terms that seem to be mutually exclusive. Holiness does not equate with exuberance in most people's minds. Even among Christians, there is the thought if you're holy, somehow or other, if you were to smile, it would crack your face. We have a little plaque that I think it was Joan's mother gave her to set up. Who was it? I can't read her lips. She's very shy today, so she's not going to shout out. Somebody in her family gave us this anyway, and it said, smile and give your face a holiday. I don't know if it was directed to Joan or to me. But anyway, it reminded us. Smile and give your face a holiday. There's nothing particularly holy about looking glum. There's nothing particularly holy about being a miserable character. But there's nothing particularly holy either about running around with an Indian grin in your face. In other words, there will be times to be serious, very serious. There will be times, despite the seriousness, to exult in the Lord. Rejoice means to exult. It means to rejoice greatly. And actually, you see this when he says, as much as in all riches. Literally and simply that is, I rejoiced in thy testimonies over and above all riches. Now, you stop and think. Does that sound real? Come on now, be very honest with yourself. I have rejoiced in the law of God more than and over and above the rejoicing in all the wealth of the world. Now tell me honestly, does that sound real? Oh, I know it sounds very spiritual, but is it real? And I would suggest to you that to an awful lot of us, it's not very real at all. This exuberant joy in the law of God. Now, you will see immediately that joy depends, therefore, on a proper view of God's law. Most people do not rejoice in God's law. They see the law as a restriction. They see the law as a repression of their personal freedom. But how does the Bible describe God's law? James chapter 1, James chapter 2, they both call it the perfect law of liberty. It's the law of freedom. It's a law that produces freedom. Any man who is living a lawless life is living a life of bondage. Any man who's living in the perfect law of God, rejoicing in it, is living in divine liberty. There's a text that we often quote from Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. And we rightly attribute that, or apply that, should I say, to people who are speaking and preaching according to some other authority or standard than the revealed word of God. Certainly that is fundamental to the text. But look at it carefully. Does it not apply to you and me? In everyday life. If anybody's not speaking according to God's law and God's testimony, it's because there's no light in him. Actually, the Hebrew scripture there is, translation is perfect. But the Hebrew scripture is simply that there's no mourning in him. There's no mourning. There's no sunrise. This is what the prophet is saying to you. Listen, a proper view of the law of God is essential to attaining joy in your life. As long as you look in God's law as restrictive and repressive, as something that is antagonistic to your personal freedom, you are going to have a night without a morning. The darkness is going to remain around you forever. But oh, when we see God's law as the perfect law of liberty, what a difference it makes. J. Gresham Machen pointed out years ago that in the New Testament epistles, in the Pauline epistles, Christian liberty is the liberty not to have to establish our own righteousness by works before God. And it is the liberty from the tyranny of sin. Freedom is freedom to be holy. And when the psalmist realized that, he was exuberant. So he got into the law of God, said, this is my delight. This is what teaches me the way of liberty. This is where I learn true freedom. This is where I learn true fulfillment. As the Lord Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. As the psalmist in Psalm 19 tells us, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Rejoicing the heart. Joy depends on a proper view of God's law. Christian joy is ignited by a sight of the law fulfilled in Christ. I've said that the word testimony particularly speaks of the Ten Commandments, but the Ten Commandments in a very particular place. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Now you will recollect that when Moses got the two tables of testimony written by the finger of God, he came down from the mount and he found the children of Israel fallen into idolatry, and he smashed the two tables. The law of God broken. Symbolically and really broken. in the hand of man. Now we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. At that time the Lord said unto me, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and come up unto me into the mount, and make thee an ark of wood. And I will write on the tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark. Now verse 5. And I turned myself and came down from the mount and put the tables in the ark which I had made, and there they be, as the Lord commanded me. In the ark within the holiest of all, covered by the mercy seat, sprinkled with the blood of the lamb, or the blood of the, should I say, the goat on the Day of Atonement, there lay the unbroken testimony, the law of God. That's the testimony. And when the psalmist here is saying, I rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, he's rejoicing in a law broken indeed in the hand of man, but complete, entire, and unbroken within the ark. Now here's the question. What is the significance of that ark? I'm not going to preach. I have threatened to do it for 30 years, and I think I'll depart without fulfilling the threat. I'm not going to preach a series on the tabernacle, which I should have done. My wife told me years ago, but I ventured to disobey. Every whit utters his glory. That ark is Christ, incarnate deity. And in Christ, the law that was broken in the hand of man, notice God says, which thou breakest, is now residing entire, complete, and utterly fulfilled. Now we come to the way of God's testimonies, and the way of God's testimonies will always lead us to Christ. It will always lead us to the cross. It will always lead us to the perfect righteousness of our Redeemer. And when you see how the law has been fulfilled in Christ, you will say, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I delight in its precept. I delight in its perfection. I delight in the righteous standard that it raises. And I delight that that law has been fulfilled for me by Christ. And I delight that before God I meet its standards and I am accepted as righteous by those standards because of the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, when you think of the law and it leads you to Christ, that's what will set your heart rejoicing. And of course, to enter into the experience of this, it comes by learning and living this very Word of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.